You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
19 minutes after 11, it is Family Matters time. And we've got Stephanie Dawson-Kosser back with us. Haven't seen you in a while. Stephanie, how are you all?
I'm very well, thanks, CBS.
What are we talking about today? I'm good, can't complain, yeah.
Good. Yeah, so today we're looking at what happens when parents reverse their roles. And when we set aside tradition and work out for us as a couple in a partnership, what's going to work best for us? However, sometimes that gets, we get thrown into that situation with circumstances that go on beyond our control. And so it's how do we navigate these new roles that we take on in today's times?
How common, do we know anything about the, in terms of how common these, subversion of traditional roles are,
So I don't have stats. I didn't research that, but certainly in my coaching practice, I'm coming across it more frequently these days. Yeah. Mm.
Well, why don't you share your story with us? If you are a mom who's the primary breadwinner, for example, maybe dad, you are looking after roles which in our patriarchal history are supposed to be the exclusive roles of mom, like taking care of, for example, your child or running the home. How is it working out for you? What are some of the factors that went into your decisions for how you were going to arrange your domestic roles and affairs in a non-traditional way? And what have been some of the challenges, some of the surprise upsides even? What have you learned? What are you still learning on a daily basis? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. What are some of the things that would make couples even choose non-traditional roles and lifestyles?
So I think there's the real practicality of who's earning the bacon, as it were. And in today's times when we have career-driven mums, they're actually enjoying the challenge of climbing the corporate ladder. And retrenchment is such a reality of today. So job loss and not so easy to find new occupation. So sometimes it's just a practical response to the practical reality of family life.
Absolutely. And with the cost of living being incredibly high as it is, I don't know whether anyone can still have single income households unless you're really struggling to get employed. Mm. But in the event that only one person can work, it may not necessarily be the man that can draw the larger salary.
Absolutely. And so parents are being really, or couples, because it's not always a case of that there's children present in the family. But couples are really grappling with that reality and then having to make practical choices and cutting their cloth to fit their income. So sometimes this involves how do they actually navigate the whole thing of, you know, we have a house, but we've got a huge bond. One party can't find work, and so they're downscaling or choosing to rent that and rent elsewhere. So it's all driven often by financial reality.
Mm. 23 minutes after 11, 011-883-0702. Give us a call in Joburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
We're hanging out with Stephanie Dawson-Kosser, of course, is a family and parenting coach, and we're talking about, you know, how, I don't know, I don't even know whether there is such a thing as a typical family structure anyway, but we do have ideals of them in our head, even though most families are probably unorthodox. Unorthodox is the new reality. But Stephanie, we're talking about finances here. Financial pressure is one of the sources of pressure that may lead to dad, for example, becoming a stay-home dad, looking after the children. But sometimes there are other reasons why that is necessitated. For example, medical reasons.
Absolutely. So whether it's the cause of a long-term illness or whether it's the result of an accident, that can have life-changing experiences for the family and changing dynamics completely, where one partner is actually catapulted into the situation of being mum and dad and the breadwinner and perhaps the primary caregiver if the partner needs that quality of care as well, which can be very daunting.
Let's unpack that in a little bit of detail. Mm. What then happens to that particular couple suddenly finding itself having to think about what are the range of issues that maybe you never signed up for in your relationship, and then life happens?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, suddenly, you know, is my partner going to live or not? And if they're going to live, who are they going to be? Are they able-bodied, intellectually, and emotionally? Are they still the same person that I married? The physical body may not be as functional, but perhaps the personality of the person is still very much the same. But they're being faced with a whole range of new life issues. Mm. So, and that can seriously impact the personality of the person and how extrovert they are, how introvert are they impacted by depression in terms of just coming to terms with their new body image, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of. So being married to somebody going through or in relationship to somebody who's going through this traumatic event is equally traumatic for the partner and for the people immediately around. So directly for the children and obviously the extended family beyond. But even if we just look at the nuclear family, everything is reshaped by the trauma of either the accident or the illness.
Mm. Put on your headphones for me. Mm. We've got our first call on the line in Kenilworth. Mark, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Eusebius. Eusebius, I'm married 28 years. And 3 months into our marriage, I decided I can't work with money. And I handed that role over to my wife. And my salary goes into that account. She sorted everything. And 28 years later, financially stable because the wife handled the finances. And, I mean, that was a winning. That was a change that I felt needed to be made in our marriage. And I'm happy with it. People, like, frown upon it when they hear that my salary goes into my wife's account. You know what? I'm not even worried about it because it works for us, you know. So I'm happy with it.
And but so how does that work out practically, Mark? So what, do you get pocket money? Do you get an allowance?
Look, I've got power of attorney over the accounts. I mean, I can go into the account at any time.
Okay.
You know, that type of thing. So it's not a case of this is yours or this is mine, it's ours, you know. So we do what needs to be done, and that's how we get through it. And I mean, to be honest, you see, because I'm not blowing up my own pipe now, but we own 3 properties. 2 of it is bond-free already. And very few people, I mean, we never earned a lot of money.
Yeah.
But very few people can do that thing.
I hear you. And you are just honest with yourself. If you were in charge of the money, you probably wouldn't be able to cite these properties that you now have.
Not at all. I got a sweet tooth and I like expensive things.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, you just rather stay clear of it. And I'm happy with it. It's, to be honest with you, for us, that was the best thing that we could have been.
Mark, before I let you go, if I can just I'm just very curious. You say some people frown upon that. How did they even come to know about your financial affairs? Did you feel the need to, you know, how do they even catch wind of it? I mean, it's a very private domestic arrangement.
You know, I work, I'm on the road. I don't talk about the ins and outs of it. But I was one day in a store where it was just males in that environment. And the one said, no, it's payday today. My wife won't see this or she won't do this. And I told him, you know, that's when I do speak to people. When I hear that they hide things away from their wives or they hide things away from their husbands, you know.
Mm.
And that is where a lot of the problems come in. It's with that extra bit of bonus or extra bit of tax return or whatever comes in.
Mm.
That is where a lot of people go wrong.
Okay, Mark, thanks for sharing that. I'm going to come back to your example in a second. We just have to go to the EWN news desk. But there's a wonderful example. Mark is still working, so it's not a radical rearrangement, but it's a small yet also big example in a gendered world, the idea of controlling the purses. We've got so much in terms of really bad ideas about who is the man, what it means to be a man, that is tied up to controlling the finances. And he's happy. He acknowledges that she is more literate than him and more prudent with the family finances. this. I wonder whether Mark's story resonates with you. If it does, share it with us. 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
So much in Mark's call that he shared that I loved. Everything from the content, the language, to even just the tone.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was really struck me was the ability to let him and his wife play to their strengths. So there was complete acknowledgement about what their weaknesses and their strengths were, and really focusing on honing those and working together on a common goal. So a lot of the inclusive language of this is our investment, this is our money, and rather than what we often see in relationships of today, working in silos of me, mine, I.
But also we, you know, with notions of patriarchy that are being very healthily examined at the moment in society here and elsewhere, it's a wonderful example how clearly his sense of who he is as a man in the world does not depend on having the most important decision-making power in relation to the money in the house. Mm,
that control is shared. Yeah. It was a beautiful expression of we're working on this together and we're in it together for the long haul. Mm. And absolute transparency between them, which exposes their relationship of trust, built on trust.
Absolutely, mm. Absolutely. Chris, welcome to this conversation.
Hi there, morning.
Good morning.
It's Chris on this side. Yeah, I resonate 100% with what the previous callers have talked about, you know, handing everything over to the wife. So I'm the breadwinner. I bring in the money. But I let my spouse handle everything. I mean, debit orders, everything. She assigns, she does all the internet banking. And, you know, it does wonders for trust between the two partners, you know. Mm. So I resonate 100% with that. I think it's the best way to do it. And as the previous caller also said, I mean, I get frowned upon when I tell this to, when it comes up in conversation, not that it regularly does, but when I speak to my old colleagues, they just, you know, they hide things away or, you know, there's a little stash here somewhere that the wife doesn't know about.
Why do you think they do that, Chris, in your reflections? Why do they do that?
Well, it's lack of trust, I think. It just boils down to that. I mean, you know, you've got to trust your partner 100% with everything, you know, including finances. And from that perspective, you know, as I said, our arrangement works brilliantly. We've been doing it for many, many years, and it works with like a dream.
Absolutely. Do you guys have kids?
Yes, we do. Three kids. Quite a bit of an extended family as well. That we're financially reported to, responsible for. And, so it's not easy, make no mistake. I mean, we're not wealthy or anything. We get by, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about trust. It's all about letting your partner handle.
I'm very curious, before we let you go, you know, this willingness on your part to think, who is best suited to deal with this aspect of the domestic arrangements? Does that also extend to how you think about your parenting, the roles in relation to looking after the kids and that kind of thing, picking them up, whatever? How do you divvy up those chores?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, I'm very busy, so work does consume quite a substantial part of my job, my day. So yes, my spouse does handle most of that. But you know, I think it's still a healthy arrangement. It's not a 50-50 split, no, certainly not, simply because we can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the one that works, and she spends her time running the household, you know, inclusive of the finances of the kids and all of that. So that's how it works out for us.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for
and
sharing
it works
that.
Well.
Yeah.
So I think just
thanks, Chris. Much appreciated.
Point of view makes a big difference.
Thank you. So what was really lovely in what Chris was saying there is that there's complete trust, and there's, if they look holistically at what does it take to make their family work. Mm. He may be the one that's going out to earn the money, but there's an understanding that there's equally a huge responsibility for raising the children and doing all the practical stuff around them. Mm. So the workload of making the family work as a whole system is shared. Mm. The one generates income, the other doesn't, but that's not the point. They're seeing it. It's not an either or, it's a holistic picture. Mm. But the thing that I'm curious about is where did Chris and Mark as the previous caller, where was their role model for complete trust? What was the catalyst to their, what's the role model that they've seen and experienced or known or and aspire to that allowed them to trust their partner fully? Because equally in Chris's reflection, it was lack of trust that doesn't, that, that you know, makes some people want to keep little pockets of money.
Okay, if you're listening to the conversation, tell us, do you have arrangements that maybe some of your friends would frown upon in terms of housework, how that's split up, who it is that is getting the income, who looks after the kids, how do you divvy up those roles? And as Stephanie says, for those of you who do, not only would we like you to share those stories, but also answer her question. Who was your role model, or what was the path towards understanding, for example, if you are a male, that you don't need to feel emasculated just because you are the one who's actually at home. But it takes a lot in a patriarchal world to realize that your sense of who you are as a man in the world, for example, does not depend on being the one who works. And I'm going to come back to the notion of work in a second, and being the one necessarily who controls the finances. 011-883-0702 in Joburg, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Let's reflect on the idea of work, because it's a problematic notion. I think part of the reason why we are even scared sometimes to let go of traditional roles is because we have weird, over a long period of time, social ideas about the value of going out to work versus housework, which often in our society to this day doesn't get its proper place in how we value the person who stays at home.
Absolutely. So we're somehow conditioned, and particularly through social media and every other form of media that crosses our vision, around being valued. The value that we bring has a rand and cent value. And if we haven't got a financial rating, who are we? So a lot of the going out to work is around how we make sense of our own identity. I mean, and it starts from when we're tiny in nursery school, and we're saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, we're already mapping that pathway, which in today's terms is so unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And the convention of work, what does work actually look like? The 9 to 5 is history. Mm-hmm. So I think we're redefining in so many levels what life looks like, including what work means. And so when we can pull back and begin to look at, so what does it take to make my family existence happen?
That's right. That's right.
When we can look in on that more objectively, getting a bird's eye view of all the components and who contributes. Well, hopefully everybody is contributing.
But it's also weird, right? Because we've got it in our language, but we don't take seriously all the work in it. We talk about or refer to housework. Mm. But often the work part of those two words is not put next to the same kind of work as when we talk about going out into the world of work.
Exactly.
And it's silly, because both are forms of economic activity.
Absolutely. Because if somebody isn't in the home contributing that aspect of the work, well, hello, we employ somebody to do it.
Exactly.
There is a rand value.
Exactly.
So, you know, if mum and dad are both out at work earning, then somebody else has to care for the children, collect the children, do the homework, etc.
Mm.
So child care still has to happen.
Mm.
The home still needs to be clean. Food still needs to be made. And so we employ somebody. So essentially, we can always put a rand value to what the person 100%. Who's staying at home is doing.
Mpumi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you. It's always lovely listening to you. I work, my husband also works, but I was recently diagnosed with a disease which leaves me very disabled at times. So my husband takes care of the children in the morning. He baths them. We have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Hmm.
So he does the lunch boxes. He does everything. And in our family, it's kind of like something that's not done by, you know, my in-laws or brothers. So we find, you always find the balance, and I'm very grateful that when I am feeling better, I'm able to take over from him, but he does most of the stuff, and sometimes I feel very guilty that, you know, I'm lying in bed and he's taking my responsibility as a mother or a wife in the house.
That's interesting. So how long has this new arrangement been going on, Pumi?
Well, I've always taken care of the children, most of the stuff in the house, but it's been going on for a couple of months.
Okay.
But he doesn't complain about it. He wakes up very early. I usually wake up very late because of my sickness.
Yes.
So he does everything, and I'm very grateful, and I think a lot of husbands and as well as partners are there. It's not shameful to be the one that does. Not for your family or for your wife.
Why, Mpumi, why are you feeling guilty though? When you, before you were diagnosed with this condition that is now onset, do you think hubby was lying in bed feeling guilty for you when you were doing the lunch boxes?
It probably wasn't.
Exactly.
I think the guilt comes from that I don't see the kids sometimes, you know, getting them ready in the morning, which.
Yes.
Kind of like breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm lying in bed most of the time. So I think the guilt mostly is
okay.
From that side.
And is the guilt becoming less and less?
I know. Some days are better than others.
So, Mpumi, I'm struck that what you're showing us is that your relationship with your husband is flexible, that you're able to give and take. And so when the one is down, the other can be up and be strong, and the other, when you're feeling stronger, you can come back into the center role again. So I'm curious to know, in terms of you needing to take the resting time that you do, are you able, when you're on the bed, to be able to have your kids with you, even if it's quietly? For example, yes. Reading stories and listening and chatting with them?
Yes, definitely. So we do a lot of that, and sometimes we co-sleep with our son. So
okay.
He spends a lot of time with us. But my daughter, I usually as well, you know, invite her to come and sit in bed with me, and we tell stories and... So I try my best, but, you know, missing those little moments of them going to school or him having to do everything, because the little one is a lot of hard work. So that I miss, but he does a lot.
So what I'm noticing is that you phoned in to share your story, and you're also sharing a huge appreciation that you have for your husband. And I'm sure if he's listening, his heart will be pounding in his chest. But perhaps one of the things that might alleviate the guilt that you're expressing is if you're able to share with him what you appreciate.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that.
That'll be fantastic. All the best, hey?
Yes, thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, Mpumi. Thanks so much for sharing. Wow, what an absolutely fascinating experience there. Mm. And I wonder what it's done to your relationship when you've had role reversals, whether it be as a result of someone suddenly getting retrenched, someone getting a new opportunity for work, and you realize that they have got to be the one who become the main breadwinner, or maybe it's because of illness or an accident that happened. Tell us also inadvertently beautiful things that you might not have anticipated that has come out of the experience. 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Because you know what? The flip side of her guilt, Mpumi's guilt, for me, Stephanie, is I would love to know what a husband thinks. Mm. If he's also a 702 listener, call us in. Maybe
yes.
While Mpumi is dying of guilt in bed, she may not even realize. And I'm projecting here, right? But
for sure.
She might not even realize that this man in the kitchen, who's busy putting food in the lunch boxes, has a smile on his face for the first time, realizing something that many men never think about, which is the beauty of being present with your children at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. So it's opening up other possibilities 100%. Of connection and trying new things. And who knows, dads often work very collaboratively. Mums often, and I'm talking in sweeping generalizations, but mums will often want everything to be just so. And so they'll make the lunchbox.
Right.
But But who knows, Dad might even be involving the children in what should we put in the lunchbox today. And there's so many other creative ways that dads will parent differently and complementarily to the mums.
That is so right. Jane, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, thank you. So my take on the story is quite different from all your other callers. We're a single income household. I'm the breadwinner, so to speak. And my partner stays at home with the kids, does the picking up, dropping off, lunchboxes, bath times. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And I think how society has sort of, you know, portrayed or been with us is that they've looked at us and said, like, how do you do it?
Yes.
You know, he's not man enough, or you're being too feminist is a card word. And that's just been how our situation has been. And it's worked out really nicely for us. Over the years. So, you know, it's a myth that definitely needs to be dispelled. And I think it's just something that needs to become more of a norm.
Absolutely.
I'm struck by the word, by the term myth that you speak of, Jane. And I'm curious to know, was this a planned event or was it something that just evolved in your relationship?
It evolved. I think over the years, over time, it sort of evolved. And it's how we live now.
Fantastic. And what's your sense of fulfillment in the work that you do and your contribution to the home?
Well, I think for me, it's been one of those things that I've always wanted to be at work, and I always wanted to climb the corporate ladder. So it's been what I wanted to do. And I never saw myself as the lunchbox packing, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen tub. You know? So, and I guess he can't be pregnant, but he's barefoot in the kitchen.
And is he, how does he, what's his sense of fulfillment in that?
I think just being around every day, you know, I get home and I hear all these stories about the mischief that the kids got up to, or the exciting things that they've discovered in the garden. And, you know, I come home to a house that's a mess, but, you know, they'll clean it up because I'm gone the next day. But, you know, and I think that's really something that he enjoys. Mm-hmm. You know, he enjoys having that time with the kids, and he goes to his friends and they talk about their children, and he always comes back and says, you know, my friends don't know. They don't know what goes on daily in a situation or in with the children, or, you know, what goes into actually raising a child. And I know there are times that I feel like I'm missing out, and, you know, because it sounds like they have a hell of a lot of fun. But that's his fulfillment. And I enjoy watching that. Because I'm also fulfilled in terms of my career. I'm climbing the corporate ladder. I'm doing what I want to do. And he's at home.
So did you ever feel, sorry, we both obviously being very voyeuristic and also inspired by your story, Jane. Just one last question from me and one last one from Steph. From my side, do you ever feel guilty that he is not himself outside of the physical house doing other stuff and having a career? Or do you recognize that actually the deep fulfillment that he apparently has from the social role he fulfills is itself a role that you both value?
I think we value, you know, our different roles. You know, we get a lot of criticism from my family, from his family, from our friends, from our colleague or my colleague.
Really?
But yeah, we get a whole lot of criticism because this is not how things are done. He's not man enough. And I say, but he does a lot. You know, I come home to a cooked meal every single day.
You know,
and if we were both working.
So they actually think of him as lazy and you cross subsidizing him.
Yes.
But if you were the stay-home mom, that conversation would not come up.
It wouldn't. It would be like, oh, he's stepping up. He's man enough. That's what men do. But now it's considered it's wrong. It's people come to us and they say, no, but he must get a job. Rather, you stay at home and you look after the children. And, you know, your girl child needs a mom. You know, and I said, no, my girl child needs both parents.
Great answer.
Bravo to you.
All kudos to you. The thing that I'm
Thank you, Jane. That was really inspired. Yeah. You want to ask another question?
I was just going to say, what I'm hearing is two fulfilled parents.
Yeah.
At home, at the end of the day, and what a beautiful family set up to grow up in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're a beautiful gift. So all courage to you to stick to your guns. to your chosen path.
Thank you, Jane.
Now, you know, what's the other thing that strikes me there is, isn't it interesting that some of the resistance we might get to how we exercise our agency as a couple might come from the very people that you'd expect the most love and support from, your families?
Because they're turning the system, what's known, upside down. They're choosing a different path, which means this couple, Jane and her partner, are doing something atypical. And that creates dis-ease and discomfort for people who are really stuck in that groove of the patriarchal, typical, traditional family arrangement. And that creates a question in people's minds who are stuck in that groove. To even see something different, to know something different, but to then experience it in your own family is topsy-turvy.
Mm. Well, maybe it's a good time for you to speak to those family members that don't come into your therapeutic context, because Jane and hubby might come and they may talk about the extended family. They may not bring them along, but some of them may be listening to this conversation, all these liberals on 702. What do you say to mom and dad who's listening, who have none of it, like if Jane's parents are listening, what would you be saying to them?
So I would be saying something along the lines of, we are all able to choose our own paths, and we need to be supportive of our children. When we give birth to our children, we have a given period of time until they're young adults and able to stand on their feet to nurture and to provide our value system. But once they've matured to the point of young adulthood and are financially independent and on their pathway, we need to actually support them in their independent choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to be open to change.
It's funny, eh? You raise children to be independent, and then their independence bother you.
And that's exactly why people come into coaching, because they're saying, he won't listen. You know, that beautiful adolescent phase. But in fact, it starts much earlier. But we spend those very early weeks and months and first couple of years encouraging into independence. And as soon as they are independent, we're trying to
it's problematic.
Tie them into the box that we think is okay.
Stephanie, we only have 2 minutes left. Mm. Jane's relationship evolved into the situation where both parties have a role. They deeply fulfilled, and they just have to deal now with the family accepting their agency and independence. What do you say to families where there isn't an evolution process, but through, for example, an accident, retrenchment, or a disruptive event in their lives, they suddenly find themselves having an arrangement they did not sign up for and which they are not evolving into? What is step one in making sure that the relationship survives and the family unit survives?
So I think the first thing is that the couple need to take time together to sit and talk through how this change and making sense of this change and how they feel about it and how it changes or impacts their sense of the identity of self and the other. And then to plan together what the next step is. And they may need help to do that. If the relationship has been strong before the trauma of whatever nature it is, the chances are, if they've got a strong communication between the two of them, they'll be able to navigate that together. If they tend to work in silos, they may well need help to navigate this process together, to look
or
at
even
what
if the comms are strong, you may not know what skills you lack, even with good communications. And so it's not a weakness to, if you can afford it, it's not a weakness to reach out for coaching.
For coaching, but there's also a lot of voluntary services that will either provide counseling or coaching at either a donation or a very small fee, and in some cases for free.
Yeah.
So there's always resources available. And I think the first thing is to not let it implode and not dig a big hole, but rather to bring the thoughts, the fears, the hopes into the open.
And future-proof it before the future is upon you.
Exactly.
Stephanie, it's been wonderful. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.